Don't you wish your khaki shorts were legitimately comfortable instead of stiff cotton? Try Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts look like khaki shorts, but feel like gym shorts. They have it all. Anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric, a super comfortable built-in liner, and zipper pockets to keep everything secure. It's time to swap your old-school khakis for Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code BASEBALL for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code BASEBALL for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. There was a question that was asked the other day, and this was to Ja'Marr Chase. And this was the response that Ja'Marr Chase had when talking about who's the best quarterback in the NFL. That's an interesting response there by the Cincinnati Bengals and by Ja'Marr Chase. So I don't have a problem, Hickey, in Ja'Marr Chase saying that he believes Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL, because that's your quarterback, that's your guy. You know him all the way going back to your time together with the connection that you've had at LSU. And it's not like, I do think Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, but if Joe Burrow would have won that AFC Championship game and then defeated Mahomes four times in a row, and that would have been two of those times it happening in the postseason, the AFC title game, and then also the AFC title game again in back-to-back years, people would have had that conversation. There were some talks about it leading up to that game. But with Cincinnati poking the bear leading into that matchup, with Mike Hilton calling it Burrowhead before they did go to Arrowhead, I don't know if you want to poke that bear again if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, and I know it's kind of in jest and it's fun when you're saying, Pat who? Did you have any problem with that, Hickey, or do you just think that's no big deal whatsoever?
Not a big deal. I like it a lot because, again, I think it's different when a receiver is talking. That's his guy and Joe Burrow
compared
he's defending.
To a DB?
Right. I think you want to defend your quarterback. And, again, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, you are 3-1 against the Chiefs. I don't think it's... I have no problem with him not bowing down to Mahomes and having his guys back.
Now, I'm not saying I have no problem with him saying, as I just said, with him saying that Burrow's the best quarterback in the league, but to do the Pat who part of it, do you have a problem with that?
I mean,
I don't think that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, semantics, I guess. Like, I mean, I think it's more of a little tough guy act more than anything else, but overall, I'm not going to go crazy.
Also, it doesn't really make sense when we'll play you this audio when Joe Burrow was asked who's the best QB in the league. So it's like when your quarterback says that, then they run to Ja'Marr Chase to go get his answer. When your quarterback already just said that it was Pat Mahomes, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go say that it's your guy, but then to do the Pat who part, I don't think that's the best look in the world when you guys just lost at Arrowhead to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And they also went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. Yeah, you beat them the year prior at the end of the regular season and in the AFC title game, but your group didn't go out there and win a Super Bowl. And Mahomes is sitting there polishing two Super Bowl MVP trophies and also two Super Bowl rings as well.
Okay, you want to get upset about the Pat who thing?
That's what I'll say about it.
I think you need that arrogance, that confidence. Like, I think that's what you need to beat them. Like, you look at the Bills, personally, I think one of the issues of the Bills is they genuflect too much of the Chiefs. They're obsessed with them. They want to beat them. But I think they also know how great they are. I do think you need the kind of screw them. Like, they put their pants on the same way as we do. They could talk about Pat Mahomes, but we're just as good, if not better than them. I think you need that sort of arrogance.
Yeah, but I'll push back on that a little bit. I'm not saying that you don't need arrogance, you don't need confidence to go out there and win. But it's not like Buffalo hasn't defeated Kansas City. They beat them twice in the regular season. I know that they were not able to beat them twice in the postseason when they did play, but it's not as if they haven't had a good game. And they've won two games in the regular season pretty lopsided up against Kansas City, if memory do serves me right there. And if their defense just didn't have a brain fart in the final 12 seconds, they would have slammed the door shut. I don't think that's because they lacked the confidence. to go out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, look at the Bengals. They've won 3 out of 4. They've won in Arrowhead in the playoffs. They're not afraid of them. And I think you do need that sort of attitude in order to win a Super Bowl.
But you think Buffalo is afraid of Kansas City based off what?
No, not afraid. I'm saying I think they just genuflect to them too much. I think they like it's almost
I don't agree with that.
In awe of Kansas City more than, all right, let's go beat them. I'd rather have a disrespectful team than a team that's like, oh, wow, like they're so great. They do this well. They do that well. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm okay with having confidence, but when you do the Pat Who part, I know it's probably said in a joking tone, but when your team, with context, also just talked a ton of smack and then lost the game, I wouldn't go back to the well of talking smack even before a game was played for this upcoming season. But give me a little NFL music right here because we're going to do a draft. The topic today is who are the quarterbacks for the next 5 years that has the best chance to dethrone Patrick Mahomes. And let me just throw one name out there, Hickey. Just because I know that people hear this, they go, oh, well, why didn't they pick him? I'm not considering Aaron Rodgers just because I don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to play. This is for the long term, not just as soon as possible. Because there's one thing to beat, as we've seen the Cincinnati Bengals, you beat Mahomes 1 year, and then the next year you're not able to get the job done, and he's walking away laughing with the Lombardi Trophy. So let me just ask this before we start the draft. Are you considering Aaron Rodgers? Because I was not considering him.
No, too old.
Okay. Gotcha. Heads or tails, my friend?
Tails.
Gotcha. It is heads. You can look right there, just so you could see. Make sure that I'm not lying or anything.
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm 20 feet away through two panes of glass, and it's a dime. So,
no, it's not. It's a quarter.
That's a quarter. It looks very small.
Well, I got big
hands. Cannot see heads or tails. So you... Gotcha. I'm not saying you're lying. I think I believe it, but you're asking me to verify my eyes. I do have good vision, but not that great vision.
You're wearing glasses.
Blue lights. They're protecting the eyes.
Oh, those aren't prescription?
Not prescription.
Maybe they're not protecting those eyes well enough.
I mean, hey, just went to the DMV, but I went to go get an eye test to renew my license.
Oh, are you serious?
All good. Yeah,
I
so frustrated.
Monday.
Yeah, so annoying.
I kid you not.
So ridiculous.
Someone was looking at my license, and they're like, you know your ID expires coming up in August. And I go, I did not know that. And then I had to call my local eyeglass place that also does the test for you. And they said to me, your last exam was in March of 2021 when I got a new pair of sunglasses. Excuse me, March of 2022. It's got to be within 12 months. So now I have to go back to the eye doctor, get the test done so they could go verify. Do you think they actually call the DMV? You think that the people that are issuing the license... You think they actually call to verify when you put the date down that, oh, this was your test? You think they call
so
the place?
So if you want to go really in the weeds, because I just did this, when you go, they fill out the form, they put a stamp, and you have to, they write some sort of doctor code and some sort of, whatever place you go to, some sort of code, you have to enter both of those codes. That's how they verify. So you don't, they're not calling the place saying, hey, did Zach Gilb go visit you? I think they put the code in. And I'm sure in their computers, they verify he was here, passed the test, all good.
Yeah, because they did give me some doctor code, and then I was filling it out. It was like, oh, it has to be within 12 months. And I was like, oh, can I just fudge this a little bit? And then I go, I don't want to get caught up in the hot water with the DMV.
And you got to go to DMV approved. I don't know. I forget what they call an eye doctor. Is it an optometrist? I forget the name of what you call an eye doctor, but you got to go to...
Optician?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you got to go to that place that's approved by the DMV, so it's a whole thing. But, yeah, so my eyes are good, but not good enough to see the quarter 20 yards away from where I'm standing if it's heads or tails. So you did win the toss. There's no Jerome Bettis.
Gotcha.
Oh, I said tails. Just kidding.
Optometrist. You're right on that.
There we go. Boom. So, look at that.
Just want to make sure that we're A-OK. All righty. My first pick. Pat who? Joe Burrow has the best chance to dethrone one Patrick Mahomes.
This honestly is really tough.
Well, it's not tough right out of the gate. Once you get through two picks, I think it then gets tough, and we got to make five here.
I don't know. I feel like I go a bunch of different ways with this next one right here. I will go with a quarterback with right now, I think, the best team in terms of knocking him off. I'll go with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts.
Wow. I'm surprised by that one. Now, that's who I would have picked, but just coming from you, you're like, you hate Philadelphia, so I'm kind of surprised that you picked Jalen Hurts.
I like the silly Philadelphia and their teams, absolutely not, but I'll show them the respect that they deserve, and they, I think, will be around for a while.
Okay. Next pick here. I kind of stay away from anyone else in the NFC.
Not going a guy, Jared Goff? Daniel Jones? Dak?
Yeah, you're a good comedian.
Sam Howell? Come on, show Sam Howell some respect.
Okay, then you could make him as your next pick, because I'm not picking him. Let's see how tough you are, Mr. Tough Guy. I don't know if this guy is a better quarterback than the other guy I'm thinking about, but his division stinks. And we saw him take a big stride in really year number one, but it was considered year number two. I will go Trevor Lawrence there.
That was going to be my pick. That was going to be my pick for sure. I will take Josh Allen and hope that they can get over the Chiefs hump and get to the Super Bowl sooner rather than later.
So I think a lot of people would be surprised when I didn't take Josh Allen there. That's a great pick by you. I wonder here, like Lijay Duzabal brought it up yesterday, how much longer is their window? And then if Diggs isn't happy and you got to go get another wide receiver, sure, you could do it. But that defense has not played as well as they should be. I just wonder what the next version of the Buffalo Bills do look like. Next up, I will go a man that plays in the division of Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Now this is where it gets tricky.
Man. I got three options here for the next 5 years.
5 to 10 we could go.
Boy.
Could expand that window.
I am between two. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to hope that things work out injury-wise. I'll go Tua. Team is really good. I like the offense. I don't trust he's got to stay healthy.
Over Lamar Jackson?
Yes. I like Miami's offense better right now than Baltimore's. Both okay. Have injury concerns. I'm going to hope and bank that Tua can stay healthy, but don't feel great about it. Do not feel great about it at all.
I'm debating if I want to be creative here or if I want to use my creativity coming up in my next answer. And I'm going to assume that Hickey's going to be pedestrian and not creative. And you know what happens when I assume I make an ass out of you and me. Now, I may have just gave away my hand, and I may have just showed you my cards, but let's see if you could pick up on those hints that I just gave you. So since you left him available for me, I will scoop him up, Lamar Jackson. So far, best chance to dethrone Patrick Mahomes. My selections, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Hickey's made three picks so far. Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Tua, Tagovailoa.
This hurts because I think I'm about to say a name, and I think maybe I'm leaving one out here that in terms of that could truly dethrone, but I'm not going to do it. I'll take Bryce Young.
I knew you were going to go Bryce Young.
10 years. He's legit. I think he'll come in right away and play well. NFC is open.
Division stinks.
I will go Bryce Young.
Okay, I'm going to get creative here. I don't know what team he's going to be on, but I think he's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year. Caleb Williams. Supposed to be transcendent. I'm going to take Caleb Williams there over who? Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love, Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, Geno Smith. Like, these are the other guys that we're talking about. You know, Kenny Pickett, Deshaun Watson still available, who's a great quarterback, but you're in Cleveland. You're going to win in Cleveland. Russell Wilson. Can't tell you I have a ton of confidence in him. So I'll go Caleb Williams. That was my creativity right there. I think you'll like it, too.
Feels a little cheap. Like, he's not in the league. I get it. 10 years, probably should have seen that foresight coming. Maybe then I should have taken Arch Manning if you want to really just blow it up and get nuts here. But, all right.
Let's see Arch actually play at Texas first. Got Quinn Ewers in the way right now.
That's right. We'll see how maybe Quinn Ewers is the man that we're not looking at right now in 5 years is two rings under his belt.
And I just want to be clear, his name is Arch Manning. Because if you listen to an update here at CBS Sports Radio, you may think his name is Arch Manning.
Final is that pick. Saving the animals? Isn't that? Oh, I did. So you know what? My apologies. I circled one instead of crossing it off because I crossed yours off and I accidentally circled it. My apologies. You know what then? Fine. I'll actually get kind of double dip here. I'm going to double down on what I said. I don't think it's going to happen. If it does happen, absolutely in this conversation, Anthony Richardson. has the tools. I just said I don't think it's going to happen. But if he puts it all together physically, how is he not going to have a lot of success?
Homer Hickey!
And he's going to do everything Mahomes can do.
Come on.
I absolutely think that's
he
a,
can do
that's
everything
an opportunity.
Mahomes can do. Oh, yeah.
I'm not. That's not a Homer thing. A
you
lot of people are saying that.
Same thing about Trey Lance.
A lot of. He had the physical tools. He couldn't put it together. And
stop.
I just said, I don't think this is going to happen. But I will take it. You know, if you want to get creative and get crazy here, I bank
stop
on Anthony
creative.
Richardson more than Kirk Cousins or Dak.
What about your guy, Deshaun Watson? You love Watson.
I like Deshaun Watson a lot. I do think it's going to be tough for him in terms of right now in a tough division, let alone a tough AFC. And I do want to see him play a little bit more, you know, play better before I kind of go there.
Gotcha. But then you take the guy Anthony Richard, who's never shown what people are trying to tell you he can't be.
It's my last pick number 5. Oof. And if you want to kind of just take a, you know, value pick here in terms of knocking off Patrick Mahomes, which is not exactly an easy thing to do.
You know what this also shows me?
I'll go crazy.
Shows me you don't actually believe in the Broncos. Mister, you're doubling down on the Broncos this year. You love Russell Wilson.
Well, we just said they're going to make the playoffs. I didn't say they're going to win a Super Bowl. And Russ is, what, 35? Like, again, he's closer to Aaron Rodgers. I think he might be 34, 35, so it's not exactly like he has a ton of prime years left. You know, if he wins
that's
one
your
Super
guy,
Bowl,
though.
I think that's a success in Denver.
He ain't winning a Super Bowl.
But I don't think he's going to be winning 2 or 3 and dethroning Mahomes as being the best quarterback in the league.
So best chances to dethrone Mahomes. Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Caleb Williams are my picks. Hickey goes with Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. Tommy Curran will join us next.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. DeAndre Hopkins set to visit the Patriots tomorrow. We'll see what comes of that. So let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome to Patriots Insider for NBC Sports Boston. And that, of course, is Tom Curran. Tom, how you been?
Outstanding. How are you, Zach?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. And it's been a tough last 3 years. And now I know what it's like to be an average football fan instead of living in the penthouse. But for the first time in a long time, I'm excited because I do think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Patriot. Where's your confidence level on that one?
It'll be interesting to really try and pinpoint what DeAndre Hopkins wants. Does he want to be with a team before the end of June and spend an entire training camp, or does he want to kind of try and pull what so many veterans do and play it out? So I think there's a hope and an expectation here in New England that the Patriots are going to get DeAndre Hopkins sewn up, but it's going to be dependent upon him. I really think the Patriots are very much interested, and actually too, Zach, very much in need of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, they need a number one wide receiver. They improved the receiving core this offseason, but it's tough for me to evaluate what Mac Jones can be if Juju Smith-Schuster is your best wide receiver.
Yeah, and to me, I looked at this team on paper so often and said, you know what, they have enough. They have Hunter Henry, they have Gesicki, they have pass catchers with Parker and Bourne and Tyquan Thornton and Schuster. But just watching this week during OTAs, you know, Tyquan Thornton, who's still unproven, second-round pick from last year, he was out with injury, so he's not out there. No Juju. So they're down to Parker and Bourne at the wideout positions and then a variety of guys who kind of just ambled in off the street or have been kicking around the bottom of the roster. So if you are on notice, which Bill Belichick, believe it or not, kind of is, and you have a quarterback and an offensive coordinator you feel you should be able to get a better season out of, you have to have somebody at their disposal to make defenses sweat, and he would help do that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you said Belichick is on notice. In terms of where, you know, how hot his seat is, where do you kind of put that number right now, 10 being the hottest?
I'd say 5, and that's, you know, understanding everything he's done and everything he's been all about. But, you know, when you talk about what have you done for me lately since Tom Brady left in 2020? And the Patriots said, yeah, we're not going to pay him. And he went and won a Super Bowl elsewhere. That felt like a miscalculation. And I think the team itself looked at it as a miscalculation. After a positive season from Mac Jones in 2021, they went totally off the board last year. And in doing so, Bill Belichick choosing to do so, they retreated. They did the backstroke. So it's not a conventional, hey, this is the letdown after Tom Brady leaves. It's actively pissing away 2022 that kind of puts them in a position where, like, okay, you've kind of made this bed. How are you going to fix it?
I think we all remember how it ended for DeAndre Hopkins in Houston when Bill O'Brien was the coach and basically the general manager as well. Is that relationship something that they have to smooth over? Because I see some things, hey, it's a concern, then others, hey, it's no problem. DeAndre Hopkins would be more than happy to go to New England.
I haven't spoken to O'Brien directly. From the intimations I've gotten, it's not a problem on as far as he's concerned. And I saw Diana Rossini from ESPN earlier today, who I think is very reliable, say that she doesn't see it as being an issue for either side. So I trust her reporting on that. So, excuse me, that should be not an issue.
Tom Curran, right now, where are your expectations for the Patriots? And if they get DeAndre Hopkins, how does that change it?
I'm high, but they're a 10 or 11 win team.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they were a 10 win team in 2021 in Mac Jones' rookie year. They've added an offensive coordinator who knows what he's doing. Mac is 2 years better and built some resilience last year. They've added players at some of the skill positions who are better. They have a very, very good defense to begin with, and they added the kind of corner who should, even though he's 20, develop into a player that can be that shutdown type of corner in Christian Gonzalez in the first round. So they have the pieces in place. They also have a very difficult schedule and division in which to compete, however. But I still see them. I mean, Vegas has them at 7.5. I think that's nuts.
So we know Tommy Curran's going to be hammering the over on that one. Just to go back to that, Tom Curran, the AFC got better. The AFC East got better. You say 10 or 11 wins. How do you view the Patriots in the pecking order of the AFC East? Who's in front of them? Who's behind them?
I think Buffalo still is ahead of them. But I think they're right there with Miami. I know Miami, you know, was a much improved team. But I'm still not a full buyer on Tua Tagovailoa in terms of durability or in terms of just overall, is he that good a quarterback? I don't think he's a top 15 guy. I think he's right there. Mac Jones certainly, I think, is a better player. Although certainly he did not show that last year. And I think it's going to take a while in New York. I mean, they scored 28 offensive touchdowns last year. And I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers should be expected to throw 28 touchdown passes on his own, at least. But it will take some time there. So I think that New England, Miami, and the Jets are three teams you can throw a blanket over and say they're all right there next to each other.
Tom Curran, you've covered a lot of drama throughout the years in the NFL. What did you make about the last 24 to 48 hours about whatever's going on in Buffalo with Stephon Diggs and the Bills?
Feels like relationships. Really does. He needed some time and space. I mean, that's what February, March, April, and May are supposed to be for. So, however they got sideways this week, I would imagine that was whatever led to that. And you can't have the head coach say he's very concerned and then pretend he's not concerned at all the next day. So to me, there's something afoot. And the way they closed the season last year was not encouraging if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. They went through a lot of adversity, and they closed the season poorly in the playoffs. So I think there are things that they're going to have to iron out early in the season.
Last thing I'll ask you, Tom Curran, just when we get to Trent Brown, I've read so much about this. If you could sum it up, what's going on with Trent Brown right now?
Every other year, he's pretty good. And in the off year, he's really bad. Last year, it wasn't very good when he was out there. And I'm looking like he's trying to go back-to-back with bad years because he did not show up on time for minicamp, really the only guy to do so. Although Lawrence Guy's holding out, but Brown blamed a hailstorm, and that's the kind of thing that in past years, Belichick's like, well, why are you taking the last flight out? but showed up late. Then he was on the field just for one drill on Tuesday and kind of had to tap out after about 15 minutes and head to a lower field for apparently conditioning work. So that's your left tackle spot. That's your best tackle. And if you don't have protection on the backside for a pocket passer, that's not what you're looking for. So that's something that has to be resolved in the next month or so for the Patriots, because you'd hate to see a position like that hold a team hostage.
Tom Curran does a great job covering the Patriots for a long time, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, always appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Zach. See ya.
There you go. Tommy Curran joining us right there on CBS Sports Radio. Now, me even being a Patriot fan, I am shocked by that answer that Tommy Curran just gave us, Hickey, that he could see the Patriots being a 10 or 11 win team. And Tom Curran's not just this homer. He'll tell you how it is. So, like, if you ever heard of Tom, or if you're just like, oh, he had the Boston Patriot reporter on, the New England Patriot reporter on, of course he's going to speak positively. Tom will tell you how it is. I'm very surprised that he was saying 10 or 11 wins, even without the potential acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins. I don't see 10 or 11 wins on this football team right now.
Same. Yeah, I know they did well and made the playoffs in 2021, but the division has gotten better. I don't think these skill weapons have gotten that much better. I'm not even sold that Mac Jones is that much better from where he was as a rookie. I know he's saying that now he's in year number three, so like just...
Well, last year was a wash. It's kind of tough
I'm saying.
To...
It's like, to, it's a wash in one sense, yes, but also you kind of have to undo all of the bad coaching, bad juju that Matt Patricia and Joe Judge put on Mac Jones. So it's not like just like you're going right back to, okay, forget about 2021, Mac Jones is here. We're just going to move on from that. I do think it's going to take some time to undo all the bad that happened last year.
Yeah, but so you're partially right, then I'll say you're partially wrong, because here's why I think it could be a quicker fix just in terms of getting Mac Jones back to an okay form. You go from Patricia and Judge running your offense to Bill O'Brien. I'm not telling you Bill O'Brien is one of the greatest offensive minds of all time, but Mac Jones must be in love right now, because you actually have someone that knows what he's doing on the offensive side of the ball. So I think it helps get the best out of Mac Jones this year, because it's just a difference of night and day from where they were a year ago. Here's our poll question, which you can find at Zach Gelb at CBS Sports Radio. Who wins the AFC East this year? Now, right out of the gate, 61.2% of the vote is going with the Buffalo Bills. Do you think that's low, Hickey? 61.2% of the vote right now when you look at it?
No, I do not. If anything, it might be a little, a little high, but I mean, this is a tough division. So
how would you rank them right now, 1 through 4, on where you think they're going to finish? Who would you go with right now?
I would still put the Bills 1. I will say the Dolphins 2, Jets 3, Pats 4.
CeeLo, 1 through 4 in the AFC East?
Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Pats. I have to factor in Tua's injury history. Sorry.
You're not wrong on that.
I just, you know, he's got to play a significant amount of games for me to feel a little bit better about them. No offense to Mike White, who's now the backup there.
Now, I think my answer is going to surprise a lot of people, because even though I'm a Patriot fan, I've been pro-Buffalo the last few years and just loving what they've been doing. When you look at it objectively, maybe I'm caught up in all the nonsense of this week. I'm going Miami 1. Now, I know what everyone's going to say, what you just said right there. The health of Tua.
Well, it's low-hanging fruit, yeah.
I feel like when everyone talks about one thing, and I know this is different. This is not like a leg injury or a shoulder injury or a rib injury. Guy's been injured a lot. Going back to Alabama when he had the hip injury, the ankle injury, and all that stuff. It's a concussion. And he's had multiple of them. So if he suffers another one, you kind of feel as a football fan that you don't even want him to play again.
Could be the end, yeah.
But I feel as if everyone's saying he's not going to be able to get through a season healthy. He's not going to be able to get through a season healthy. There's a lot of merit to that, but I feel a lot of times whenever everyone says that, the opposite ends up happening.
Yeah, I'm not like guaranteeing he's not going to. It's just if I'm making a season-long projection, I've got to look at his history.
Oh, it's a big factor.
So that's the way I say it. That's why I say it that way.
I'm going Dolphins 1, Bills 2, Jets 3, and then my Patriots 4. I think a lot of people will be surprised by me putting the Dolphins 1, because there's no coach in the NFL right now that creeps me out more than Mike McDaniel. He's a good coach, did wonders last year, almost did go to Buffalo in that wild card round with a third-string quarterback and Skylar Thompson. That dude, though, And we talked about this before. He creeps me out, or I feel like everyone's in on the inside joke with Mike McDaniel but me. Because every time I listen to him, I'm like, people love this guy?
He's different. That's why.
He's bizarre.
You don't get that from NFL head coaches often.
No, you don't.
So I think that's part of the draw right now. And when your team's performing well or exceeding expectations, it's cute.
It's fun.
It's endearing. But that can, as we know, turn on a dime. Yeah.
It could go south very quickly.
Yeah.
So even though I just said that I like the Dolphins to win the AFC East right now in my June 14th prediction, I wouldn't be that upset, though, if things do go quickly south very quickly there, because that act of Mike McDaniel can get old in the matter of one game when he says something to the media.
Vaping on the sidelines in a playoff game, or the interview he gave to, was it Peter Schrager coming out of the half of that game where he, like, legitimately, you know what? I better be careful. I don't want to make accusations, but.
Could you imagine?
Seemed a little off.
10 years ago, if you were able to get on the radio and say, yeah, like a coach vaping on the sideline. Now all you do is you hear commercials for pot and gambling.
Yeah.
That's all you hear now.
It's a new world we're living in.
5 years ago, Scott Farrell was like the devil for talking about that stuff. Shake him up, Scotty Farrell, Farrell on the bench, CBS Sports Radio.
I saw a story today in the New York Post, teachers getting frustrated with 11-year-old kids going to school in a diaper.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, explain. Is there not a bladder problem or anything?
Really. No.
This 11-year-old just shows up to
not
class?
Not one 11-year-old. Like, this is a thing.
Multiple 11-year-olds?
Yeah.
And it's not like they have some issue?
I think the issue is they're suggesting they have, like, nerves or anxiety, or they're worrying about it, things, and things are potentially coming out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a different world we're living in.
You said 11 years old?
Yeah.
So what are you, middle school then? I think?
If your middle school includes sixth, you're talking like fifth, sixth grade, depending on which month you're born in.
Yeah. If I was in fifth or sixth grade showing up to school in a diaper, I would expect to be made fun of.
Well, when I was in school, that's the way it was.
Yeah. And I'm not that old. Like, now I sound like, back in my day, I would never wear a diaper to school, but that's the road that we're kind of going on.
A lot has changed in these last few years.
There is no doubt about it. Hickey, you have a little anxiety coming to work? You start wearing a diaper tomorrow?
Just in case.
That'd be fun.
No, thankfully, I am all good. I can control my body. I guess is maybe the best way to put it.
You know what? There is a member of CBS Sports Radio in Mraz who pooped himself on the air once. May not be the worst thing in the world having a diaper.
And here's an example of me misinterpreting the headline. It said worrying trend. So I was thinking like, okay, these kids are like having their worries or mm-hmm. No, the trend of diapers is what's worrying. That's what the teachers are saying.
There's a trend of diapers?
Here. Oh, okay. This is in Switzerland. See?
I should have read more about that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Students wearing diapers in class because they don't know how to use the toilet. And you know what? Let's just put this to bed now.
Gotcha. We're going to cancel Chris starting to trend on
no, it's just it's
social
a little,
media.
It's a little off base, a little off topic.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hickey, I thought you had some zany ideas and some zany conversation talking points. CeeLo comes in here swinging.
He's ready to throw me out of here. He's
ready to flush you down the toilet, CeeLo. Yeah, right.
What are you doing? Making more work for yourself. Well, I'm a kid, but I mean, 11 years old, changing their diaper.
CeeLo's face went white as a ghost as he was reading through the actual
article. Yeah, that was a bad one.
That's
the lesson. Read the full story.
By the way, you can think
potty
around.
Or train your kids.
Wow. Yeah, that too. That goes without saying. That should be common sense.
Hey, send me that article. I want to read what was actually in the
I just figured maybe then I was like, maybe they're just lazy. I don't feel like getting them going to the bathroom.
You can think around the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll come on back. We'll talk a little bit about Kittle and his love for Mr. Brock Purdy.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So George Kittle did a car wash tour yesterday, went on a bunch of different outlets, and one that really did catch my attention. A lot of it was similar, but I thought this was good questioning by Robin Lundberg, who used to work here at CBS Sports Radio, now does a kick-ass job for Sports Illustrated. Let's hear this exchange with Kittle and Lundberg.
Trey Lance, starter or backup?
Trey is a starter in the NFL. He will be. Get that guy some reps, and he has an incredibly high ceiling. Brock Purdy won 8 straight games, got hurt. It's just Brock's job to lose at that point. I think that Trey is definitely a starting quarterback. Like I said, he just needs reps. It's all it is.
It's kind of funny to me. I get what he's saying, that he believes that he could be a starter in the NFL. And once again, he uses the words that I hate the most, has such a high ceiling. I hate that conversation for guys that we've never seen put it together. And you just keep on telling me, oh, if he puts it all together, he has a high ceiling. It's just weird to me, Hickey, where I understand what George Kittle is saying in terms of Brock Purdy comes in, you win the 7-8 games in a row. It's like, he's going to be your guy. I don't even know what the 49ers believe anymore, that George Kittle, I'm talking about John Lynch, definitely Kyle Shanahan, if this guy's a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore, because what's the ceiling for Brock Purdy? Like, if we go into that dumb ceiling conversation, and I know Brock Purdy may have looked like he was the best quarterback that's been in San Francisco in the last 4 or 5 years, with what he was able to do in that small sample size, if you really truly did believe still in Trey Lance, it's not as if Trey Lance has done anything that we could see in terms of why you would lose that belief in him. In year one, it was Jimmy G's team, and then in year two, he was the starter, and then unfortunately he just got hurt. But it keeps on sounding like no matter what they say, just with the way that they've been approaching this, that I don't think they really believe in Trey Lance anymore long term.
I think the tough part here is, and it's going to sound stupid when you say tough part and then what I'm about to say, but I think it's true. Like, the 49ers are so good, well built outside of the quarterback, that it doesn't really matter.
It does matter, though.
And so it's like they, like, when you ask the ceiling, like, what's the ceiling of Brock Purdy? The ceiling is winning a Super Bowl. Is he going to be the best quarterback in the league? No, but he doesn't have to be. And that's the thing, it was a short sample size. Brock Purdy's, what, the 10th, 12th best player in that small sample size he played in last year? You don't need to have a top one, top five quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And so if you're looking at it, Trey Lance, I think, is more talented, and I would agree with George Kittle, would have a higher ceiling than Brock Purdy in terms of what he can do with his athletic ability. But if you're the 49ers, you look at, well, right now, we're trying to win right now. And if Trey Lance is going to take a year or two to develop and get reps, we don't have a year or two, I'm not going to say to waste, but we don't have a year or two for him to learn, because we have a guy in Brock Purdy who is less athletically, sure.
Trey Lance should be ready by now.
We need him to play at a high level in order to win games.
Trey Lance should be ready by now. If the guy's healthy, he should be ready. You've been in an NFL locker room for 2 years. You should be ready to go out on a football field and play if you're getting selected with the 3rd overall pick in the draft and a team gave all those first-round picks to get you. I don't think he needs more time. He just needs the opportunity now, and then we'll see if he could find a way to swim or if he's going to sink. That's what it is.
Right. No, I agree. But I'm saying he's played five games in 3 years, something like that, some very small, minuscule. So it's like he's barely played. And if you're the 49ers, again, like if he plays and you got to figure it out, well, that's going to insinuate that there's some ups and some downs where Brock Purdy's more steady. That's, I think, part of the reason why they are just leaning towards Brock Purdy. I don't think they think he's overall the better quarterback, but he's the better quarterback right now.
You think the coach believes in Trey Lance, though? Because I don't think the coach believed in Trey Lance from the start, and he was talked into Trey Lance, as we've talked about before.
I still am not sold about the whole not wanting Trey Lance at the draft, but I'll say definitely today.
Well, before the draft.
Right. Before, like,
I still think
he was in on Trey Lance, but definitely today, with how he's acted, with how John Lynch has acted and talked, no, they don't believe in Trey Lance.
And I do think the quarterback still matters in San Francisco. We've seen them with just rotating kind of quarterbacks, like when I go to Baskin Robbins, where I just rotate flavors. You know, I'm usually happy when I leave, but I never usually get the same ice cream flavor, and I try to rotate and try all the flavors and go through multiple flavors. You can still have really good ice cream, but are you going to get great ice cream? Because right now, you look at the San Francisco 49ers, they've been a wonderful team. They've been to a Super Bowl. They've been to multiple NFC title games. But If you don't figure out clarity on your quarterback, I don't think you win a Super Bowl in this league. I don't. Yeah, I know people are going to say, oh, what about Nick Foles? And what about Jeff Hostetler and other guys? You look at the quarterbacks for the most part the last 25 years that have won, most of them are great quarterbacks. Now, you don't need a great quarterback to win. You could just get good quarterback play. But I don't think the 49ers even know what they want, because one moment it's Jimmy G, and then it's, okay, let's try to go get Kirk Cousins, and then it's back to Jimmy G, and then it's, oh, hey, Jimmy G took us to the Super Bowl, played really well in the first three quarters, got outplayed in the fourth quarter, now we got to go get Trey Lance. Okay, Trey Lance is here. He's going to be the guy. Up now, Jimmy G comes back in, then Jimmy G gets hurt, then Brock Purdy plays. Now it's going to be Brock Purdy. It's confusing. It's like me in earth science class. When I'm going back to high school, I'm confused. I have no clue what the heck is going on. But you need to figure it out, because until you figure out your quarterback and you have a guy that you can look at and say, okay, we think this is the guy not only for the now but the foreseeable future, I don't think this spin a wheel and then every different month it's a new guy that you're bringing up to come claim a prize is going to get you the ultimate prize, and that's the Lombardi Trophy.
I mean, to their credit, if you want to say that word, credit, like, they have basically backed Brock Purdy this entire offseason.
They have.
They have not really talked about Trey Lance as being the starter. They've not talked about Sam Darnold as a guy that's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. Anytime they've talked about the starting quarterback position, it's been either Brock Purdy, or if Brock Purdy's healthy, you know, his health is going to determine that.
That's the other part of it. Now, Kittle did say, I saw in the Dan Patrick show, that he expects Brock Purdy to be ready for week one. Their first few games of the season, they play the Steelers, the Rams, the Giants, and the Cardinals. I kind of wish they had Murderer's Row coming out of the gate. Because as a fan, it would be intriguing to me if, let's say, they start off 2-2 and Brock Purdy doesn't play well. They started off 1-3 and Brock Purdy plays well. How long of a leash does Brock Purdy have off the small but impressive? I'll give Brock Purdy credit. He looked pretty awesome last year. But I just wonder how long the leash is for Brock Purdy this year.
And the thing I'll say is Kyle Shanahan's never really benched a quarterback.
Yeah, it's all been because of injuries for the most part.
It's not like he's, you know, shuffling the chairs because they stink every week. It's Trey Lance gets hurt, Jimmy G gets hurt. So it's almost like he has no other choice.
And what saved them is they still have won a ton of games. It's kind of crazy when you look at it. It's not like John Lynch is on the hot seat. But in a usual situation, when you use the pick this early on and then you went with someone else and you traded all those draft picks to get it, there would be pressure from the GM to go get the guy that you drafted on the field. But I'll give them credit. Not that they haven't won a Super Bowl, but they've won a lot of games. They've advanced far into the playoffs, so they get the benefit of the doubt. But I'll keep on pounding that drum, and I'll keep on saying it. Until they figure out their QB position, I don't care how great of a roster you have, you are not winning in this league. And I think quarterback roulette is very dangerous, but we'll see if they'll walk out of that casino with a lot of money. News brief next.